What a day. What a day in New York sports. You woke up this morning. If you're a Yankee fan, you were angry. Maybe a little concerned by what happened last night at Yankee Stadium. Mad at Aaron Judge, mad at Carlos Rodon, maybe concerned about going back to Kansas City tied at one. If you're a Met fan, you woke up and you were on cloud nine. Maybe you're lucky enough to have tickets to go to Citi Field and you wanted to leave right in the morning. Didn't even want to wait. Didn't want to risk anything. Let me just go to Citi Field and party with Matt Harvey, John Franco, and Steve Cohen. All three guys right now are outside partying with fans.
Right.
It is a festive atmosphere. And you're all pumped up about the Mets. Giant fans woke up and they're like, man, this is the best 2-3 team I've ever seen. I feel good about life.
Well, no, they've gotten better every week.
That's
right.
Let's
put it that way.
That's right. And Jet fans woke up thinking, all right, things have sucked, but in a week, biggest game the Jets have played in 9 years, and then you get slapped in the face with the shocking news that Robert Saleh has been fired as the head coach of the New York Jets.
Right. Here's a couple of things that we know. One, Woody Johnson talked to Aaron Rodgers. Prior to this season, or at the end of last season, one thing that Aaron Rodgers pointed out was the noise, distractions around this Jet team, the non-football stuff. The other thing that we also know as fact is that Coach Saleh talked to everybody. We know because Joe Beningo had his phone number.
Yes.
And so I'm just wondering, just to throw another log on this fire, the flame that's flying over there in Florham Park right now, I wonder if Aaron Rodgers was tired of the noise because he thought it was coming from Robert Saleh.
If that is the case, okay, and he was annoyed by the noise that came out last year and maybe didn't believe in this head coach,
right,
then this is the move you do during the offseason. Like, I'll never forget when the New York Jets made the shocking decision.
Yeah, but hold on. If you do that in the offseason, and you fire Coach Saleh in the offseason.
Yes.
And you have to go through the process, even if you have in your mind who you're going to hire.
Okay.
There's a chance you hire somebody that's not going to want Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
That's going to
Well, then you don't hire that coach. Like, part of the job description.
Right, so you're going to hire your coach based on your 40-year-old quarterback.
Yeah, I think in this case, yes.
And think that it's going to be a short and long-term solution.
Well, I think that you would... you're not hiring a coach, in my opinion, who is telling you, I don't want to coach Aaron Rodgers. First of all, I'd question that guy.
Right, so would I.
I would question him. I'd say, what are you thinking? Like, what's your better alternative? Mm-hmm. But you had some very good options out there. And see, here's my problem, and this is a relatable in Jet history that was sort of forgotten about, but it popped into my head recently thinking about this. It's not that I love Robert Saleh. It's the timing. My big issue was the timing of this.
Yes.
Well, let's go back a few years ago. Do you guys remember when the New York Jets had an offseason and they literally had a draft with a general manager and then fired the general manager? That's how Joe Douglas got the job. You guys remember that? Mike Maccagnan made moves. He was building a team. And then he got fired.
And
at the time, when we found out about it, Joe and I were on the air. And it wasn't as if we loved Mike Maccagnan. It was, what the hell are they doing? It doesn't make sense.
Right.
And so in a lot of ways, this is very similar. It's not a defense of Robert Saleh. It's
a timing issue.
It's you're 2-3. You're about to play a game for first place Monday Night Football against the Buffalo Bills. And now is the time to make the move. And then Woody Johnson, in talking to the media in the last 10 minutes, says, this didn't happen over the last two games. I've been thinking about this for a while. Like, things don't add up with what he's actually saying to us.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. Now, the effect is just, it's to be determined. We'll find out if this is a positive thing or a negative thing for this Jets team. But it's definitely a different thing for this squad. And the distraction is real right now. They have to find a way to focus in an extra day-long week. And Jeff Olbrich's got to re-identify himself to this team. There's a lot of moving parts going on over there.
No doubt. Now, Sean and Lugie want my blood for some of the things I've said. We will get to that, I promise, at exactly 3:15. Let's get back to your calls with Dean in Homedale, New Jersey. What's up, Dean?
Hey, I disagree with you guys is the dysfunction is so bad, and I don't think it was going to change. Yeah, I mean, it's the dysfunctional offense is so bad that even Aaron Rodgers has become dysfunctional.
So how does firing Saleh and replacing him with the DC change that?
Well, if you think you're heading down a path that's got a hole at the end, you're not going to stay on that path. No, so what does it solve by staying on that?
No, no, I know that you're answering my question with a question, and I'm going to retort it back with a question. If your biggest issue is the offense on this team, I completely agree with you. Their offense is the reason they lost the last 2 weeks. How do you think firing the head coach, who has literally nothing to do with the offense, is going to fix the offense that's clearly holding the team back?
It's not.
Great question, right?
It's not.
We played volleyball right there.
No, they just have to play better. They could. Should they have won the Denver Broncos game? Probably. Could they have won the Minnesota Viking games? Yes, because they were on a drive at the end of the game, down six, and just outside of the red zone, with a chance to score and steal the game.
Right.
And the quarterback made a bad decision.
They lost because of the quarterback. Two games in a row.
He made a bad decision.
Yes.
And it resulted in an interception, game over. So, is that the head coach?
No.
Right? The Vikings are good. They're undefeated. They're one of two undefeated teams in the NFL. And you had a chance to beat them on the last your last drive of the game. And you fire the head coach?
Right.
Like, the things don't calculate to me.
Not at all.
Unless there's something else that that's not being said.
Right. And the something else could be Aaron Rodgers on the secret phone conversation Monday night with Woody Johnson, where Woody claims they never talked about Robert Saleh's job status. Well, maybe they did talk about Robert Saleh's job status. Maybe Aaron Rodgers duranted Robert Saleh. Is that not possible? Yeah, that could be a verb. The hell's wrong with that? And by the way, want to verb it? Davante Adams is hardening his way out of Las Vegas.
Right.
It's all the same crap. He's got a hamstring issue. Okay. Sure he does. That's right. Let's go to Frank in Stony Brook. What's up, Frank?
How are you doing there, guys? Tiki, you're the man.
Thank you, man.
Okay, listen. All right. First off, the Yankees are going to win the next two in Kansas City. Don't worry, guys.
Okay.
But I'm shocked that they didn't give the job to Hackett. I mean, they gave everything else to Rodgers. You know, it's ridiculous.
How do you turn over his head coach?
Yeah, how do you turn over the whole team to one guy? I'm surprised he didn't do the draft for them last year in the offseason. It's crazy. It really people forget when Tom Brady won with Tampa, he had the home field. His team was favored, big favorites. He played horribly. He's choked a couple of times in big games. You know, I just don't. I don't get it.
So, what's your point? Where you want to cut Aaron Rodgers? Is that the ultimate decision that you've decided on?
No. The Jets just made a bad decision turning over the team to one guy.
No, they have no choice right now, though. Like, okay.
He's talking about previously.
No, and
he's talking about last year coming in, just bringing in Aaron Rodgers.
And that's fine. Like, I get anyone who's anti-Aaron Rodgers, anti-Jets, or didn't want them to make the move. You can have your victory lap, even though it's not over yet. But I'm in the here and now. Okay, what do you want to do? They're 2-3. What's the answer?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could call up the radio and just be a troll. Sure, that's fine. You have every right to do that. But let's find the solution. What the hell's the solution? Now, I'll tell you why. And they had two choices, when they decided to fire Robert Saleh. They could have promoted Nate Hackett, who we talked about. They could have promoted Jeff Ulbrich. I'll tell you why in basic terms.
Or you could have done the special teams coordinator.
That's true.
Right? You could have,
fair enough.
There's plenty of ways to do it. You know, Antonio Pierce was a linebacker.
No, you're right. It didn't necessarily have to be those two guys. Right. It had to be somebody on the staff.
Right.
Right? Brent Boyer could have been the head coach.
Right.
Sure. But Nate Hackett, and I'm not even bringing up what happened in Denver. Here's the reason why, to me, it would have made no sense for Nate Hackett to be the head coach. He's got to work on this offense with Aaron Rodgers. There's enough on his damn plate.
Now
you're going to make him the head coach who's going to decide about timeouts and everything else? It wouldn't make any sense. Right now, the defense is a well-functioning machine outside of the, you know, penalties that continue to haunt this team.
And
their defense has played well enough the last 2 weeks.
By the way, that's why, to what you're saying, is exactly why interim head coaches are often not the coordinator, right? It's often, I think, like in Carolina, wasn't it the special team? Because we asked.
It was the special teams coach.
It was the special teams
coach. We asked
the Rams did that when they fired Fisher, too. It was Fossil's kid.
It was John Fossil, who was, not John, was it John?
John Fossil, yeah.
Yeah,
John Bones.
John was the interim head coach. because of exactly what you're saying.
Right.
The defensive coordinator's got to worry about defensive coordinating, and the offensive coordinator's got to worry about scoring points.
You know what? The more I think about this, the more I realize Brant Boyer should have just been promoted. He's been the special teams coach for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
He's been here for a long-ass time. We've seen special teams coach make those jumps and be
right.
successful.
Of course.
Look at John Harbaugh in Baltimore.
Well,
so
yeah, here's one reason why, and nobody thinks about this until it's said, and then it makes obvious sense. Offensive coordinators or defensive coordinators very rarely have time talking to the entire team. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Because they're focused on the defense or they're focused on the offense. Whereas the special teams coordinator, at some point or another, talks to almost everybody.
Right, right.
Except for probably the quarterback.
Right.
Right, because every player is involved in special teams in some capacity.
So they should have hired Boyer.
Even if you're a star,
right.
you are a backup whatever.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's a great point.
Like, I was the punt returner forever, but when I stopped being the punt returner, I was still the backup punt returner.
Right.
So I was still going to special teams meetings.
So do you agree that Brant Boyer should have just been promoted?
I mean, I'm just saying that's why special teams coordinators often get the interim job.
Yeah.
Because they're used to standing in front of a room with every player.
Like, Jeff Ulbrich's done a great job. And here's the other thing real quick. Do you remember early offseason?
I think he's going to be great at this role.
I hope
but it's now a challenge.
Yeah. I hope we laugh about October 8th. Like, oh, remember when Evan was freaking out about the Jets and it worked out? It was the greatest move in Jet history. Hope it turns out that way. Also remember the offseason. We all thought Jeff Ulbrich was leaving.
Yeah, it's true.
There was a thought he was taking a lateral job and was going to go back to San Francisco. And I had heard stuff about his family and going back there. That ended up not happening.
Right.
And you start to wonder. You know what I'm wondering?
What's that?
There was a whisper. Mm. And the whisper was, you don't want to go to San Francisco.
Stay here just in case.
Just in case.
Hmm.
You're not taking over in San Francisco, obviously.
Right, Sorensen. The kid Nick Sorensen, who's young. I forget what it's.
But here in New York, Jeff, hang around. You could be the top guy.
Hmm.
And since Woody even said, this isn't the last two games, I've been thinking about it for a while, that's another thought that kind of pops in your head. Once you get news like this, you go back on everything.
Right, so it was a contingency for a while.
Yeah.
It's not something to just, I'm going to fire Robert and hire Jeff Ulbrich.
Yeah.
It's like, if I have to fire Robert Saleh, Jeff Ulbrich's going to be the
And
guy.
That bothers me because if Woody Johnson had doubts during the offseason, he should have pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
There were too many good coaching options during the offseason to let that go. Now, the boys back there, they obviously hate the Jets, and that's okay. I appreciate that. I respect that.
Hmm.
Sean and Lugie are very open about their trolling of the New York Jets. I think that's a lot better than when you're a secret troll.
Yep.
And you're like, no, I love the Jets. What are you talking about? They both are very excited to take my blood because I have said things over the last few weeks or months that maybe they want me to get my comeuppance on.
Mm.
So, Tommy Lugauer, I start with you. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Evan. I appreciate the opportunity here. And I'm glad you brought up Aaron Rodgers and his relationship with the head coach. So let's go back in time a little bit, shall we? To a few weeks ago, when the Jets won the Super Bowl on Thursday Night Football, when they beat the horrible New England Patriots, and all anybody besides Evan wanted to talk about was the viral video of Aaron Rodgers when Robert Saleh went in for the bro hug and Aaron Rodgers pushed him away. And I said to you, Evan, that's a big deal. We should talk about it. Mm-hmm. And you led the show, of course, with, oh, yay, we won. So I'm going to take you back in time here. Here's the audio. Listen closely as Evan is a total douche to me in the beginning.
What
Evan, that's it.
Douchey comment do you want to make after the Jets beat the Patriots thuckuses? Tell me. We all want to know. We all want to hear what negative you want to bring up. Because you can't take the fact that the Jets had a good night and not one person here on this show has uttered the phrase Super Bowl. But go ahead.
You don't learn.
We're all ears.
You don't learn from your mistakes because last year, after Aaron Rodgers went down in week one, you allowed a win to cloud your judgment. The quarterback pushed the head coach and basically told him to go scratch. You are ignoring that because they won. Had they lost, you would have been talking about it the whole show.
You know
so
what?
Once again, you're
right.
Ignoring the big picture.
You're right. I'm biased. Tiki Barber, as a performer or former professional NFL player, do you agree with that sentiment?
Well, it doesn't matter.
Oh, and Tiki catches a stray here, too.
Tiki said it doesn't matter. Why is Tiki getting strays? I don't think it mattered. And, you know, I just said before that when something happens, you go back on everything and you try to reevaluate. It's like when a girlfriend dumps you, right?
Right.
You start thinking about
wrong.
And you go back on like every date you had, you start reevaluating. Oh, when she said that, that probably meant something. I have so many lies.
I should have listened.
Right. So I think it is absolute fair game to now go back on those things. I still don't know. I don't know if I'll concede that to you. Oh. I don't know if the push really means anything. Mm. No, maybe it does. Maybe it's a sign that Aaron Rodgers couldn't stand him. But Tiki, you tell me.
I don't know. It's just a weird, awkward moment. Because you've also seen videos of them hugging before. And so it's just an odd moment. Don't get too excited. Calm down.
So you don't think, as Lugie is pushing, that that was an early sign that we should have paid more attention to?
I don't think so.
Okay. Tiki rejects your attempt at getting blood on me.
My audio is going to reference the same night, that Thursday night game, the same moment, but I come with Aaron Rodgers' audio on it as well in our discussion. Okay. So let's just play that whole thing in context.
Okay, go ahead. Is this story corroborated by Aaron Rodgers? Mm-hmm. Let's see. This is what Aaron Rodgers said.
That awkward exchange with you and Robert, you appeared to push him away.
No, it was not really awkward at all.
So I'm a very skeptical person. I think a lot of us are. You know, a lot of people lie to us these days. I was certainly convinced listening to this late last night. Mm. Okay, story corroborates. That's it. That's what happened. Huh? Now, clearly you have some fan fiction to write, Sean, so go ahead. Let's hear what happened.
No, I don't think it's fan fiction. I do believe that, but I could also tell that I don't think it was as simple as two dudes trying to pump each other up. And Aaron Rodgers had a tell, and all men have a tell. Whenever you're asked if you did something wrong by your wife, you always do the, no, it's not awkward at all. And we got that right there, Aaron Rodgers. I've heard that. You're still a dude before all that.
I didn't have four drinks. Right? What are you talking about?
No, when you get that, no, it's not awkward at all. So,
I got, you know what? That one I give you. Because, and not me. I give you the Rodgers thing. I think going back and listening to Aaron Rodgers go high pitch is like, oh, wait. Yeah, he just doesn't want to admit it. And even last week, he was asked about his relationship with Saleh, and he's like, oh, our relationship is amazing. Like, it's fantastic.
The moment you change that. So 3 weeks later, he's gone. I also just have an updated list. I want to update this every time there's a big Jet moment this year.
Yeah, go ahead.
The list is big deal, no big deal when it comes to the Jets. Reddick trade with no contract. Evan changed in week four to it was a big deal.
That's true.
So you stand there.
Okay. Same old Jets.
Yep.
Rodgers' unexcused absence from minicamp goes to Egypt, and Saleh tells the world it was unexcused. Still not a big deal?
I have the chance to evaluate.
All right, you got
to
readjust that one.
I'm going to readjust that one. I think that looking back on it now, I don't mind handing out victories.
That's why I just want to.
I want to be fair about it. I think that looking back on it, Aaron Rodgers may have been pissed off about
Samuel Jets.
Right. Saleh answered
because,
it.
Right. Because he didn't have to. Non-throw him under the bus, throw him under the bus.
Yep. Yes.
Because he threw him under the bus.
Okay.
He had to say was, yeah, Aaron's in Egypt. Like we talked about this.
Right.
I mean, it's not ideal, but you know what? He's entitled to not be here.
Yeah, I flipped on that. That's a big deal now.
Right.
I think when you look back on it and you watch how this deteriorated, I think that's a bigger deal than the push.
He misplayed that media-wise.
Yeah, I think Saleh made a big mistake.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have said that.
Small little caveat to that thing. One of the biggest problems on offense for the Jets this year is Aaron Rodgers not being on the same page with his receivers. Perhaps he should have been here actually, you know, practicing with them instead of riding around on camels in Egypt.
I'll tell you why that's not a big deal. Tiki, Aaron was at every single one of those OTAs.
Those moments that we're seeing where he's miscommunicating with his wide receivers, and again, some of this is not even miscommunication. On the last interception, the ball should have been over the middle of the field.
It's Aaron Rodgers.
They're clouding both sides. Both outside receivers are getting double covered, basically, to keep it in layman's terms. And Alan Lazard is running one-on-one in the middle of the field. Throw it to the one-on-one guy when everybody else is double covered. Now, maybe because he dropped three or four passes in that game.
Maybe.
It clouded his decision to throw it over the middle of the field. But this is Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, I think that...
That's an Aaron Rodgers decision.
The whole missing a practice or two, I think the issue is the way Robert said it. Because Aaron was at all of the other OTAs, and he was also at training camp the entire time.
He made him look bad unnecessarily.
Yeah, I think...
And he was at the last 2 weeks of the regular season having guys cut for him to be on the roster.
Yeah, and he practiced with those... I know you're being sarcastic, but he was practicing with them, so I can't look at the 2 days that he missed being in Egypt as, see? I mean, that's... I just can't buy that
again,
one. I'm flipping on the whole.
I'm going to change
the way Saleh handled it. It is now a big deal. And what a week are we in? Week five.
Evan changes to big deal week five. By the way, this is
the day Saleh was fired.
This is a list of things that have happened from the offseason on for a totally healthy franchise with Super Bowl aspirations. Here's the next one. Saleh versus Rodgers, as we just discussed, Patriots game push and their post-game discussions on. It's still not a big deal to you?
I already said no.
Okay.
Same old Jets.
I already answered that one.
The Garrett Wilson complaints that he clarified to Bart Scott.
He got 22 targets on Sunday. So, no, not a big deal.
You're allowed.
Completely misconstrued by the media and you.
Same old Jets.
Aaron Rodgers' offseason focus on running for vice president?
Nah, come on. That's not a big deal.
Okay. By the way, that's a totally...
It wouldn't have mattered. RFK dropped out anyway.
And RFK didn't choose him.
Right.
I'm just... Again, that's total... I'm not telling you right or wrong
answers.
Do
you know who he chose, Sean?
Margaret Bath?
She has the last name of a famous coaching family.
Hmm.
Oh.
Nicole Shanahan. Anyhow, go ahead.
I was going to go was that Diana Lombardi.
Yeah, I don't know if it was Nicole.
Oh, I read that wrong.
And last but not least, a new addition here.
Yes, yes.
Woody says he spoke to Aaron Rodgers the night before firing Robert Saleh, but didn't talk about Saleh.
No, that's the hugest deal.
That's a huge deal.
Huge deal. Not
and
big, big
it
deal.
Feels as if it's, I hate to use a word, a lie. It feels as if Woody is not telling us the whole truth.
Same old Jets.
Well, it's especially interesting is the word I'll use. Considering that he made the decision, meaning Woody made the decision.
Without Joe Douglas.
Exactly. It's not as if Joe Douglas made this decision. Oh, I have a conversation with Aaron all the time. And then I decided to fire my head coach. Not, I was talking to Aaron, and then I had a conversation with Joe Douglas, and Joe and I came to the conclusion that we need to fire Robert Saleh.
Yeah,
that's not how it seemingly went down.
And I'll give you a little spoiler alert. Joe Douglas is never hiring another head coach for the New York Jets. Why, you ask? Very simple. If the Jets have success, if this day turns into a great day in Jet history, we look back at October 8th and say, wow, what a great move. They got rid of Saleh, Jeff Ulbrich took over, and the Jets fulfilled the expectations that we had for them. Well, then Jeff Ulbrich's going to be the head coach next year.
Right.
Goodbye, SNY. Stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac. That's coming up next on SNY. So if that happens, Ulbrich stays, right? I think we would all agree with that. Jets win 11 games, make the playoffs. Jeff Ulbrich is the head coach of the New York Jets in 2025. If things go badly to where they're looking for a new head coach, they'll also be looking for a new general manager. They will also be looking for a brand new quarterback. They will be hitting that horrible reset button that unfortunately franchises, the Brooklyn Nets, have to hit every once in a while.
Go ahead.
What?
All right. Jonathan Jones, NFL lead and insider for CBS. Ousted Jets head coach Robert Saleh was considering firing Nathaniel Hackett before himself was fired on Tuesday morning.
Interesting. So he was thinking of firing the OC, Nate Hackett, Aaron Rodgers' BFF. Oh, my God. If we put all these together, Aaron Rodgers fired Robert Saleh. We all know that Aaron Rodgers loves Nate Hackett.
As do I.
I know you do, too, but unfortunately right now you don't have the power to generate innovation.
I have zero consequence in this conversation.
Right, right. You're just a lover of Nate Hackett. There's no way Aaron Rodgers, upon hearing the rumblings of, oh, Robert's thinking of getting rid of my BFF, my OC, there's no way Aaron would be okay with it. So this may have been, you know, kind of like that hit job when Aaron talked to Woody, where he didn't say fire Robert Saleh. But there was a, you know what to do, Woody.
Do unto others. Do unto others before they do unto you.
What does that mean? Basically what I'm saying, I'm confused.
There's a do unto others, meaning like, we got to get rid of this guy because he's going to get rid of me. So Hackett goes
or
to Rodgers
and get
goes.
Rid of, he's going to get rid of my guy who puts me in jeopardy.
Right. Nate goes to Aaron and goes, we got to get rid of Saleh.
Could you imagine if Robert Saleh went through with firing Nate Hackett, what Aaron Rodgers would have done? He would have burned the organization down. Like, I can only imagine what he would have said about it. Like, he loves Nate Hackett. Jet fans may not love Nate Hackett, but like I said at the beginning of the season, they're married. Like, Aaron Rodgers and Nate Hackett are running the Jet offense, and we have to accept it. What?
I think this comes down to two things. Number one, if Saleh was going to do this, this isn't out of the ordinary. Usually coaches that sense they're on the hot seat make a move with a play caller or something like that. But also, what did Tiki lead this hour with?
I don't remember.
Robert Saleh can't stop running his mouth to media members everywhere. We saw the text with if he was going to do this to Nate Hackett, he probably told 15 people he was going to do it to Nate Hackett, which got back to Aaron Rodgers, which got into that room with Woody Johnson. And Robert Saleh's mouth, unfortunately, for being such a nice guy, probably came back to haunt him.
I'm trying to figure out who would, I mean, it would be the, who would have, if they would have fired Nate. Probably Todd Downing, the pass game coordinator. But I don't know his experience being a coordinator. I'd have to look that up.
I'm not even lying. Couldn't Rodgers player coach it?
He's the already
I'm not
doing
even
that.
Trying to make a joke about it. I'm being serious.
I mean, isn't that basically what's happening? I mean, Aaron Rodgers is running the offense. And look, I agree that that's the thing that needs to change for the Jets to turn their season around. But you were never going to fire his BFF.
Yeah.
It was never going to happen.
Right.
And well, Robert Saleh trying to do that was his death sentence.
Well, Todd has been he was the coordinator, Tennessee Titans and the Raiders.
Yeah, but what does Aaron think of him? Because that's the
right
key to all this.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Crazy.
Evan, you said running the offense. Mm-hmm. You were right with the O word. You should have said organization because he got the head coach fired.
He's yeah, running the organization. I don't think there's any question. I don't think there's any question. They could deny it all day, but... And you know what? Here's what's crazy. The NFL is not the NBA or Major League Baseball, but right now the New York Jets are an NBA team. Mm. That's what they are. They're an NBA team. They are trying to fire the coach at the behest of the superstar player, and in the NBA, sometimes it works. Didn't work with my basketball team, but it works with others sometimes. It worked in Cleveland. You know what I mean? Like, it works sometimes. David Blatt's like, what happened to me? So that's the way they're being run right now. Now, it's never worked in the history of football. I'm holding out hope that it will. I'm not confident that it will. But that's basically how the Jets are being run right now. By a like just this star-driven NBA team.
And do you think they promoted Ulbrich so it doesn't look obvious what's going on here?
No, I think they promoted Ulbrich because they really didn't have a choice. Like, when you fire a head coach in the middle of a season in the NFL, you know, who can you bring in from outside
no,
the
I'm
organization?
Saying, no, I mean...
Like, you have to promote.
No, if you promote Nate Hackett to the head coach, it looks bad.
Yeah, but it didn't make sense to promote Nate Hackett because he's already got enough on his plate of just fixing this offense with Aaron Rodgers.
Right, the accountability, the details, all those little things that are causing this offense to short circuit. That's a task.
Yeah.
Right? And so now, look, maybe this ignites everybody in the organization and they work whatever percent harder you want to say, whatever cliche makes you feel good. But ultimately, it's confusing timing, but it's Woody's decision. And Woody could do whatever he wants. As much as we want to yell and scream and do it and talk about how good or bad this is, Woody can do whatever he wants.
He can do whatever he wants.
He's the owner.
When you own the team, now we can yell about it. We have every right to scream and yell about it.
Right. We'll see if it works.
Yeah.
We will see, because this rarely, if ever, works.
It's never worked. Met fans, how we feeling as you're on your way to Citi Field? A huge game three, trying to take a 2-1 series lead in this division series. Thoughts on that? Plus, did Jazz Chisholm make a huge mistake with what he said after last night's Yankee loss? Plus, more of your calls on the shocking firing of Robert Saleh. 888-808-1019. All right, Met fans, you're on your way to the ballpark. We'll hear from you coming up as we get set for Game 3 of the Division Series. Jet fans still digesting the news of Robert Saleh being fired. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are about to hear from the new head coach of the New York Jets, Jeff Ulbrich. He's the former defensive coordinator who has now been promoted as head coach. This is his first press conference as the interim head coach. So we turn the show over for the time being to the brand new head coach of the New York Jets, Jeff Ulbrich.
I got everybody in? We're good?
Yeah. Yep, good to go on your end.
All right. You know, I want to open this up with just making it very clear my love, my respect, my regard for Coach Saleh and all that he's done here. Great gratitude for him bringing me here. Great gratitude for staying by me, especially for the people that have been here when year one we didn't play the level of defense necessary to win games. And he stuck with me. And he had great belief in me. And the success I have today, he's a huge part of that. And I got tremendous respect and love for his family as well. So today's an exciting day for myself from the standpoint of getting this opportunity, but at the same time, heavy in my heart for Robert. With that, I'll take any questions.
Woody was talking to us a little bit ago about changes potentially, just changes in general for the offense. I was wondering if you could talk at all about your plans for the play caller, because you have Todd there who's done it, you have Nate who has been doing it. Do you know who's going to call plays for you?
I've got tremendous respect for this offensive staff. I do. Every single guy on it. In the next couple days, you know, like, in my opinion, these guys are going to be here on Monday Night Football for us, and they're going to do an amazing job. Saying that, this has been 4 hours fresh for me to take this role on. Everything will be assessed, the process, the responsibilities, etc. But I do not foresee any changes in the staff.
Just to follow up on that, Jeff, you said you don't foresee any changes on the staff, but do you foresee any changes in the roles being play caller?
Yeah, we're going to take a deep dive on that in the next, you know, really 36 hours and look at every possibility. But I do not see changes in necessarily titles in positions as far as responsibilities and the process itself. That's, we're going to take a hard look at that.
Brett, we spoke with Woody a little while ago, and he basically said, you know, he thinks this is one of the most talented rosters, at least the most talented roster he's ever had, and, you know, he needs to see changes. What do you feel like you can bring to the table here to get this thing turned around?
You know, we're going to take a hard look at everything. I agree with Mr. Johnson as far as the talent of this roster. We have been underperforming for whatever the reason, and we're going to take a hard look at all of it. At the end of the day, I'm going to be me, and, you know, I have tremendous love and respect for this team, for this roster, for this locker room, for this group of coaches, you know, and I really believe, you know, we lock arms, we commit to the process that we put in place, and we will have success. We will.
Jeff, what's your relationship like with Aaron Rodgers?
I have a good relationship with Aaron. He is he's one of those guys that has, you know, he's just unbelievable experience, and he's seen this game at the highest level for a long time. So he's a guy with a lot of ideas and really positive feedback about a lot of different things, whether it be meetings, practice, game planning, scheduling, all of it, you know. So he will be a vital resource for me in that way, for sure.
Hey, Brett, can you just I'm sure this has been a whirlwind for you here, but just wondering about the timeline. Like, when did you actually find out? When was this opportunity presented to you? And how have you processed everything in that time?
Yeah, it has been a whirlwind. It has been 4 hours of craziness. You know, 4 hours ago, I'm sitting there game planning for Josh Allen and what we got to get accomplished from a defensive perspective. And then 4 hours later, I'm doing a press conference here with you guys as the new interim coach of the New York Jets. So a lot of information to process. It's going to take me some time because, you know, I got to pull away from the defensive coordinator position and really start to look at this thing from a global perspective. So in the process of doing that now.
To follow up on that, Jeff, how will you handle the defensive coordinator responsibilities now? Will you turn that over to someone? Will you continue to serve in that role?
I think everything is on the table right now. So I'm going to take a hard look at that. And can I manage a game day as a head coach and play or call the plays on defense? So everything's on the table right now. It is.
When it comes to when it comes to the team underperforming last half this season, do you think there has to be radical changes, or do you think you guys have to do what you've been doing but do it better?
I think everything's on the table right now. We're not playing to our potential. We're not, you know, we're too talented to be putting the product we put out there the last couple weeks, especially. So we got to take a hard look at everything and be honest with ourselves.
Have you had an opportunity to address the team as a group yet? And if so, what was the message? And if not, what will be the message when that happens?
I did get an opportunity earlier today. The message was, it's time to lock arms. We go back to back, and it's us against everybody. And with the talent that we have in that room, in my opinion, we have everything we need to be successful and have the season that we know we're capable of having. You know, and at the same time, shared my love, regard, and respect for Robert you know, and at the same time, a day like this, there's a moment of you know, there's some sadness and frustration because ultimately his firing is on all of our hands, you know, so we got to do a better job. We do it collectively.
What is your message to Jets fans about what they are getting in you as an interim head coach?
I'm going to be me. Love this game. I've been part of the NFL for over 20 years now as a player and a coach. All I know is how to be me, And I'd like to say that that's someone that, that relates to the players. I think playing has helped me do that at times. An unwavering standard of play. I'd like to think that what you've seen on our defense is a reflection of all of that. So it's just, I'm just going to be me every day and bring a level of my authenticity and my energy and my toughness and my grit and my experience in this league. And from that standpoint, I'm very excited about connecting with this locker room and elevating everybody.
Any more questions for Coach Gilbert?
I think you entered this with Atlanta in 2020 amidst either coaching change, am I right?
We did, yes.
Well, what can you learn from that experience, just kind of this sudden change, for lack of a better word, in the middle of the season, how to handle it?
You know, I think the biggest thing, and actually Aaron and I spoke about this earlier today, about there has to be an element of change. You know, the players have to feel that, whether that's our process, whether that's scheduling meetings, practice, night before games, whatever that is, there has to be a change bigger than just me now assuming the head coaching role. So we're going to take a hard look at all that we do and the process in which we get to Monday night and make the changes we think are necessary.
Now, there he is, the brand new head coach of the New York Jets, Jeff Ulbrich. So here are a few things I took out of this. He loves Robert Saleh, which has to be difficult. I mean, Robert brought him here. They probably have a great relationship. And he just took the guy's job. And he didn't do anything to do it, but he was offered his job. You know? And so that's awkward. You know, if they're friends, that's an awkward conversation, because for him personally, it's a very exciting day. He got promoted to a dream job. You're a coach in the NFL. That's the ultimate goal. But then there's the sadness because he's friends with Robert Saleh.
Right. Well, he brought him here and he's been here and they've had a lot of defensive success. Not a ton of offensive success, but a lot of defensive success under Robert Saleh. And he's no longer here. And it feels, again, I'll use the word, but it is what it is, because Woody can do whatever he wants. It feels unfair to Robert Saleh. And I think that's the mixed emotion that Jeff Ulbrich has. But at the same time, he's got a job to do. He's got 12 games left.
Yeah.
And when you really think about it, they are a missed field goal and a couple of bad Aaron Rodgers decisions in London from being 4-1.
Yeah.
Like, think about it.
No, I know.
When you think about the closest of the game, it's not like they're getting blown out. It's not like they're laying down. It's not like they looked inept. They've made mistakes in critical moments of games. And by the way, for those that think it's easy to win in the NFL, it's not. And if you make one or two bad decisions or bad plays at critical moments, you lose football games. And so, is that all on the head coach? Of course it's not. It's ultimately on the players. But you can't fire everybody.
Right.
You can't fire the players. Let's get rid of the whole staff. This guy didn't do this. This guy didn't do that. Let's get rid of everybody. You can't do that. So somebody has to be the scapegoat.
And your hope is, my hope is, as a Jet fan, that this kind of move shakes the organization up enough where those little mistakes that cost them against Denver and against Minnesota doesn't happen against Buffalo, doesn't happen against Pittsburgh, and the Jets are where we had hoped and thought they'd be. There was a guy on this show who thought they'd go 16-1.
I was wrong.
Yeah, but the hope is they can still save this season. So a few things Ulbrich said. He basically said all the guys on the offensive staff will be here, but everything will be assessed on offense.
Yes.
He doesn't foresee changes. He's going to do a, quote, deep dive on role changes, but he doesn't see moves with titles. So it looks like Nate Hackett, Todd Downing, like their roles aren't necessarily going to change, but he's going to do a deep dive. What does that end up with? What difference does it look like when we get to Buffalo on Monday night? I have no idea. And the truth is, I don't think Jeff Ulbrich knows. Because he literally found out 4 hours ago.
Right.
So I don't think he's had the chance to actually study the changes he would institute as the head coach of the team. He said the same thing Robert Saleh said about his relationship with Aaron Rodgers. We have a good relationship. So whatever that means. And remember when Robert Saleh became the head coach, he had a phrase. He said, all gas, no brakes.
Mm-hmm.
All gas, no brakes. Jeff Ulbrich's line was, it's time to lock arms. So I'm just keeping track of the phrases.
Right.
He's going with time to lock arms, and he did go with something else. This is the thing I can get behind as a Jet fan, because it does feel that way a lot of times. It's us against everybody. And that's the mentality that saved, believe it or not,
the New York Mets season.
Right.
You know, that same Mets season that in a little about an hour and 15 minutes, they're going to play game three of the division series. They were 11 games under 500, and they were buried. And they had a team meeting. This is the Jets team meeting, firing the head coach. But truthfully, what J.D. Martinez said in that team meeting and then eventually repeated it to the media was, hey, if everybody thinks we suck, the pressure's off. Let's prove everybody wrong. It's right, us true. Against the world. I don't think everybody necessarily thinks the Jets suck. I think they feel like the Jets are a dysfunctional mess.
Yeah.
And so he's right that the mentality they have to take, and hopefully it works and it turns their season around the way it did for the Mets, is it's us against the world.
Yeah.
Well, nobody thinks we're good. Let's go prove them wrong.
So much matters in this moment what the messaging is to the team and whether or not they respond to it. And the one thing you cannot be, and I appreciate what he said about just being himself, because if you try to be somebody else, you try to put on a facade to be impressive to your team, they'll tune you out, and everything goes to hell. And so I hope he's himself, because I know he's a great dude, and people have a lot of respect for him around a league. And in that locker room, he's just got to be him. He can't try to be somebody else just because he's now the head coach, even if it's just on an interim fashion. Because getting the team to buy into whatever it is you're saying, whatever your message is going to be, and I'm sure it will be along the lines of what he just told us, you know, circle the wagons, let's get everybody's back type of thing. But as soon as they don't believe you, that you're just talking, you're dead.
Dunzo. Mike in Yonkers. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, Evan? Evan, good. This guy has been the owner for 25 years. Has he ever hired a head coach with head coaching experience?
Yeah, Adam Gase. How'd that work out?
Right. One time in seven coaches. My opinion is, Evan, we're Jet fans. This guy owns the team. This is what he's going to do. I think he's just cheap. He doesn't want to pay a guy $15 or $20 million to be a head coach.
I don't think that's the case right now. I think the problem right now is when you fire a coach in the middle of the year, your only option is to promote a coordinator. And I don't want to think about next year, because next year is after this season's over.
Right.
And I'm not ready to give up on this season quite yet. David's in Westchester. David. All right, David's gone. Greg is in New Jersey. What's up, Greg?
How you doing, guys? I called for his firing after game one. I hope you guys can see that the writing has been on the wall. He's, what is he, 20 and 36?
Yeah.
So
Shouldn't have been the head coach to start this season, Greg. If you want him gone after week one, he shouldn't have even been the head coach to start this year.
But, Evan, let's have a conversation. Fine. Number one, the fact that you're saying he shouldn't be fired in the middle of the season is crazy, okay? He was a dead man walking. He couldn't do anything. He can't win a game. He couldn't manage a timeout. He couldn't manage the team in any situation. There was no way he was going to win. Now, the defensive coordinator, give him a chance. I'm telling you what's going to happen next year. If they don't get to the AFC Championship game, Belichick will be the general manager. Vrabel will be the head coach.
I don't even want to think about that.
What? All right, more coming out of Florham Park. This from Connor Hughes of SMY. Sources. Former Jets head coach Robert Saleh was never going to fire offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett. That was not happening. However, he was going to demote his game day responsibilities this week. Saleh made the decision to give play calling duties to Todd Downing because of the continued issues on offense. He made that final decision this morning. Then, roughly 5 minutes later, he was called into Woody Johnson's office and fired. Based off Jeff Olbrich's press conference, it sounds very much like he, too, is considering giving play calling to Downing. The Jets expressed concern with Hackett this offseason in their attempts to add Arthur Smith as a senior advisor. He would have been the lead offensive voice. However, he took the Steelers' OC job.
But he wasn't fired because he was going to demote Nate Hackett, right? That seems more like coincidental timing.
Unless Saleh was telling everybody yesterday he was going to do this, made the decision, and then it got out and got back to Aaron Rodgers, and Rodgers talked to Woody last night.
He did talk to Woody last night.
You know what the ultimate answer to that's going to be? Ultimate answer is Jeff Olbrich says he's going to do a deep dive. Let's see if he makes any changes.
Right.
Let's see if Todd Downing is the play caller on Monday night against Buffalo.
Yeah. And this is why it gets really challenging. Because if you start and go dig through the tape, because that's the only way to evaluate this, is go dig through the plays and the games themselves and evaluate the play calls and the moments. And then you'll make a determination. you're going to see its execution.
Mm.
Nobody's going to do this. I mean, maybe somebody on social media will do it and, you know, point out all the issues, some of which I pointed out to you yesterday. So much of this is simple execution, and it's not the call or the decision. It's execution by the players.
More on this, but to the Met fans out there, if you're in your car right now, let's hear from you. We are an hour away from Game 3 of the Division Series. This is something that felt so foreign in the middle of May. Maybe that gives Jet fans hope. In the middle of May, late May, the Mets were dead. They were buried. They were a joke. And now they are welcoming in the Philadelphia Phillies for the first Division Series game at Citi Field since 2015. We'll set the table for Game 3, our thoughts on what we think is going to go down. We'll check in on the Met lineup.